Judge Bharat is giving a Bhagavatam class to Maharaj Rahugna. Canto 5, chapter 10, text 11. Jivan Ritatvam Niyamena Rajan. Adyantavadyat Krikritasya Drishtam. Svasvamya bhavo dhruva idhya yatra.
Svasvamya bhavo dhruva idhya yatra.
Karyo chate sa vidhi kritnya yogaha. Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan.
Jivan mritatvam niyamena rajan.
Adyantavadyat Vikritasya drishtam. Svasvamya bhavo dhruva idhya yatra.
Svasvamya bhavo dhruva idhya yatra.
Taryu chate sa vidhikritya yoga.
Taryu chate sa vigrahitya yoga.
Jivat mritatvam.
Jivat mritatvam.
The quality of being dead.
The quality of being dead.
While living.
Niyamena.
Niyamena. By the laws of nature.
By the laws of nature.
Rajam.
Rajam.
Oh, king.
Oh, king.
Adiantavat.
Adiantavat.
Everything material.
Anything material.
Has a beginning and an end.
Has a beginning and an end.
Yet.
Yeah.
Because of things that are transformed.
All things that are transformed.
Such as the body.
Such as the body.
Drishtam is seen.
Is seen.
Satsvamyabhavaha.
Satsvamyabhavaha.
The condition of servitude.
The condition of servitude.
And mastership.
And mastership.
Dhruvaha.
Dhruvaha.
Unchangeable.
Unchangeable.
Idya.
Idya.
Of you who are worshipped.
Of you who are worshipped.
Yatra.
Yatra.
Wherein.
Wherein.
Tarhi.
Tarhi.
Then.
Then.
Uchate.
Uchate.
It is said.
It is said.
Sao.
Sao.
That.
That.
Vidhi kritya yogaha.
Vidhi kritya yogaha.
Fitness of order and duty.
Fitness of order and duty.
Translation, my dear king, you have unnecessarily accused me of being dead, though alive. In this regard, I can only say that this is the case everywhere because everything material has a beginning and an end. As far as you're thinking that you are the king and master and thus trying to order me, this is also incorrect because these positions are temporary. Today, you're king. And I'm your servant, but tomorrow the position may be changed, and you may be my servant, and I your master. These are temporary circumstances created by providence. Report by Srila Prabhupada. The bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering in material existence. In Kali Yuga especially, people are so uneducated that they cannot even understand that the body is changing at every moment and that the ultimate change is called death in this life. One may be a king in the next life, one may be a dog, according to karma. The spirit soul is in a deep slumber caused by the force of material nature. He is put in one type of condition and again changed to another type. Without self-realization and knowledge, conditional life continues. And one falsely claims himself a king, a servant, a cat, or a dog. These are simply different transformations brought about by the supreme arrangement. One should not be misled by such temporary bodily conceptions. Actually, no one is master within the material world, for everyone is under the control of material nature, which is under the control of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the ultimate master, as explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Ekame Ishvara Krishna. Ara Sabhavritya. The only master is Krishna, and everyone else is his servant. Forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings about our suffering in the material world. So the opening sentence is the bodily conception is the basic principle of suffering, and the closing sentence is forgetfulness of our relationship with the Supreme Lord brings our suffering. So which one is right? And which one is wrong? They're both right. Because the root of the bodily conception is forgetfulness of Krishna. We're the default position for those who have forgotten Krishna. Forget Krishna, you forget who you are. Forget who you are, you take some other identity of who you are. That's the bodily conception. And that brings suffering. So the root of all suffering is ignorance, and the essence of ignorance is ignoring Krishna. That results in varieties of ignorance based on the platform of the bodily conception of identifying who we aren't and then seeking happiness and finding misery instead of happiness, because the happiness is digging into one's relationship with Krishna. The verse has two parts. Jivan mrittatvam, mrittatvam. Jiva is, so it's the way that is being translated here is, Jiva is obviously the living entity, but the Jiva is what's living, and the body is what's dead, even literally. While living, the body is a dead body. It's animate head. It's like a car. The car is moving. So it's moving because of the soul, and it is not because of the car itself. And the body similarly is not alive. It's showing symptoms of life because of the presence of soul. Life is the soul. So he's being accused by the king, Jadbharat, as being dead while living because he isn't carrying the palanquin properly. You've wrongly accused me because it's not an accusation, it's true about everything. The body is dead. The body is dead in the sense that everything of this world has a beginning and end, and thus dead in one sense. Like another way of saying the same thing, often Prabhupada would say, supposing somebody has their first birthday, or the 10th birthday, or the 20th birthday, or whatever the number, they're that many days dead in one sense of looking. They're so many years old, but that means whatever the duration of life, maximum, commonly 100 years, but less than whatever that is, less than that, whatever that is, so many years old means so many years dead. Is one way of looking at it. That the passing of time brings us, same message as in the Canto 2, Srimad Bhagavatam. With the passing of time, one is brought closer to death. And for the devotee, with the passage of time, they're closer to Krishna, eternal life. The body will also die, but the positive is missing. With those that are having gotten Krishna. So the body is dead for everything that comes to being and goes out of being, everything that's born and goes to the transformations and dies. So you wrongly accuse me. No, in fact, you too are dead while living. But not just you, but everything. Is a transcendental way of looking at the material circumstance of life. Because, so that's in the Sanskrit, Adi, Anta, but means having the quality of and adi and anta. So at the same time, matter has the quality of, it has a beginning and it has an end. Whatever there is in this world, Krishna says, it has a beginning and end. Not the soul, but everything of this world has a beginning and an end. That's this word, niyamena. Niyamena. Jivan mitatvam niyamena raja. Niyamena is according to the laws of nature. The laws of nature is time is moving, and beginning and medium, intermediate and end. Adhyantavak yad vikritasya. Vikritasya is in Bhagavad Gita, it's transformation. The 24 elements mix, and when they mix, this vikriti, they bring about other things, but the other things are simply transformations of combinations of the 24 elements. And that's life. That's the variegatedness of life. Matter transforming. And how does matter transform? Under the supervision of the Supreme Lord. What's the criterion, guna and karma, of the living entity? And, you know, the super show of transformation according to guna and karma. So that's the first half, the first two lines of the message from Jagar to the king. You wrongly accuse me of being dead while living, because everything of this world is dead while living and undergoes these transformations according to the direction and supervision of the personality of Godhead. And then the second one, sva. Svanya bhava. Sva, the word for word, the condition of servitude and mastership. Sva, so the two, sva bhava, there's has this samya in between. Svanya. The sva bhava is one's nature. Brahma karma svabhavajam. Kshatriya karma svabhavajam, Vaishya karma svabhavajam, Shudra karma svabhavajam. 18th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So one's svabhava is one's nature. Svabhava is svanya. So it's unpacking that svanya is you're saying I'm the servant and you're the master. So that's our svabhava. Well, gee, Rahugana. It's not unchangeable, it's changeable. You're saying, Dhruvaha, Ithya, you are to be worshipped as an unchanging position, but you're wrong. Because the position changes according to Viti, Kritya, Yogaha, fitness of order and duty. So again, the body is received according to Guna and Karma, and today, you're the king. It's true. You're the king. And I'm the servant. That's not Kalyu Palanquin. But wait a minute. You know, that's a very temporary situation. And you're just identifying with the temporary situation. You're all wound up about the temporary situation. And you're forgetful of the eternal reality, which is, you know, the beginning and the ending sentence of the purport. You're forgetting Krishna. He's the master. Now you're the master of me, and tomorrow or next lifetime I may be the master of you. But in both cases, neither of us are the master or the servant. The reality is Krishna is the master and we're all servants. You know, it's a polite way of saying you're Maya. You're an illusion. Now, some appreciation about this king that's in Maya. Jada Bharat hasn't spoken to anybody for his whole lifetime. And he is in this mature stage of life. He just hasn't said anything. As if he was deaf and dumb. hasn't said anything, hasn't indicated anything that he's interested in her. Deaf and dumb. But he's speaking to the king because he recognizes the king has some qualification. And therefore he's speaking to the king, and he's speaking in such lofty terms that the king is astonished. I thought you were this dullard, and you're highly elevated, realized soul. How did this happen? He gets off in palanquin and falls at the feet of Jetbara and pays his obeisances and asks him, "Who are you? Say more." So even somebody that's in Maya can get out of Maya if they have the right character and good association. But the right character means they can hear. And good association means somebody that has transcendental knowledge, like Jed Bart. And Jed Bart not only has transcendental knowledge, he's on this most elevated platform. Most elevated. And totally disinterested in anything material. So he's speaking not out of protectionism. "You're a bully, and, you know, I don't like you doing this." But just transcendental. And he has calculated correctly that Prabhupada can receive knowledge. Therefore, he gave knowledge in circumstances where he didn't do that before. The emphasis that Prabhupada is making in the purport, I'll just make this little summary and then we'll see if there's discussion. He just takes it to the Krishna conscious position. Eka Ishwara Krishna Arasavavritya, this statement from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Ekala, Eka means one. Ekala, Ishwara, the controller, is Krishna. And Ara Sabha Vritya, Vritya means servant. All others are servant. There's one master, and all others are servants. So, how does that play out in real life? We have different roles to play in life. And as we play our roles in life, we should be crystal clear that we're serving Krishna. Whatever the interplay is in our social roles, which are always changing, and certainly from one lifetime to the next lifetime, they're changing. So the progress of Krishna consciousness is to recognize Krishna as the master. And we're the servant, and others are servants, and we serve Krishna in various ways in our interactions with others. We're serving Krishna in an ideal picture of how we're serving Krishna. We're helping one another in serving Krishna. That's Vedic culture in any case, or Daivi Varnashram in any case. But it's not to say there aren't roles. The role of a sannyasi. If a sannyasi conducted himself in a way that's appropriate for a grihastha, it's bad. The sannyasi shouldn't do that. He should stay within his role. And conversely, if there's a grihastha that doesn't act according to his dharma as a grihastha, but acts as if he's a brahmacharya or sannyasi, that's not okay. So we have roles to play. But while we're playing those roles, it's for service to Krishna according to our nature. So he's not saying to the king, you're nonsense for taking the role of the king, but you're nonsense for thinking that's who you are. And so, wrapped up in that wrong identity, that you're offensive. So, you know, to get Prabhupada, who could hear, others, some can't hear, but Prabhupada could hear. And so it moves the Maya away by sound vibration, by transcendental knowledge, to bring the focus again, as Prabhupada is doing in the purport, to Krishna. in our various roles that aren't who we are, we do them anyway because it's a way that we can offer service to Krishna. That's the conclusion of the Bhagavatam. It's like this is a little touching on this discussion from last night. Daivi Varnashram, not just Varnashram, but Daivi Varnashram, meaning there's an atheistic Varnashram. People, according to, generally, the atheistic Varnashram is according to birth. But even if it's according to quality, atheistic Varnashram is these are my duties and I do my duty, and God's not a picture. I just do my duty. And what's the goal of doing my duty? Well, I get A and B. I get untangled from the fruits of my activity and I get closer to the position of becoming one with the Supreme. Atheistic Varnashram. And Daivi Varnashram is I have my psychophysical nature, accordingly I take up activity and I do that recognizing this is using Prabhupada's language here, it's providential arrangement that I am in this circumstance. And I accept it and engage in service to Krishna from that position. It's a nice subject. So any discussion? 8:15. Yes?
Just a clarification.
Clarification.
Yes, Maharaj. So you were talking about the daily Varnashram and the normal Varnashram. So the difference is
Krishna is at the center.
Yeah, for the daily Varnashram.
And then Krishna is not at the center. That's the difference.
Okay, so what we follow as a devotee is
daily Varnashram. Okay. Anything else? Yes?
I don't know how to formulate this yet, so I'm a bit messy.
What?
I don't know how to formulate my question.
Well, I don't know how to give an answer then.
I'll try.
Okay. I'll try too.
So, we all have a personality, right?
Yes.
So I guess my first question is the personality we have something material?
There's something. Yes, it's material. There's a spiritual personality that's not the present one.
So a personality is based on the upadis we have?
Yes.
Okay.
Identification with matter and how matter moves us and it changes and so there's changes, incremental changes and things.
The reason why I'm asking is because sometimes I see senior devotees and they have a personality. Like, some of them are extraterrestrial. And then they seem to be identifying with that kind of nature, and but at the same time engaging it in Krishna's service.
Well, it can be this end or that end or somewhere in between. We each have our nature. And I can identify with it, or I can utilize it. In Krishna's service.
So if you utilize your personality in Krishna's service, is that enough for you to not identify with it?
Well, it's a good beginning. Meaning, I was having a discussion yesterday with one devotee who was recognizing I'm strongly independent by my spirit. And I said, no, don't do that. It says, that's your nature. Now, how to connect that to service to Krishna? And if you just do the dovetail program where, hey, it's authorized, this Krishna likes this, and I'm independent, I'm going to go out and do that, because Krishna, it's okay, it's got to be a stamp on it. Then you're misusing your independence. It's better than just like wanton independence, but there's a capacity of free will. This is just an example. So if the seat of consciousness is, this is the package by providential arrangement, in my case it's, I have this independent spirit. It's not wholesome the kind of independent spirit that I have. I recognize that. But I have it. Now, how to handle it? How to... So, dovetail, just, you know, just let it go. Unregulated. You know, swing over here and swing over there. And that's not... So, dovetailing. That's better. Then recognize, then manage it. Align the choices that I make with my independent spirit, with that which is Dharma, under the direction of qualified Vaishnavas and Brahmanas, offering to Krishna. That's a little more elaboration on dovetail, but it's submission with the full force of my independence. It's proper use of that independence. I'm taking some guidance from scripture, teachers, and want to please Krishna thereby. So take any other example of somebody who's being churned. They can do it, you know, a little bit, you know, more completely or completely. And it's like a fantastic example is Dhruva from scripture. Totally, you know, materially motivated. But because of the kindness of his mother, he went to Vishnu to get that material thing, you know, fulfilled. And Vishnu sent Narada. And because Dhruva was properly submissive, not just took from Dhruva and said, see you later, he carried that deep gratitude for Narada. They gave him the means to get Vishnu. He couldn't have done it on his own. He would try it on his own. So that gratitude carried him beyond, and the following the instructions of Narada carried him beyond his material desire to Vishnu. So it can be, you know, in layers or in stages or degrees of... Because your question was, that enough? And saying, well, kind of. Keep going. So the issue is, what do you really want? In Dhruva's case, he was actually a very qualified devotee, but he was a Kshatriya, and he was insulted by his stepmother, so his Kshatriya spirit was inflamed, covering the devotee core. But because of mercy received, he went on the other side of that Kshatriya spirit. And what he said to Narada was, your advice is right, but I can't do it. I can't give up this, I get back mood. I'm mixed. So is it enough to just like connect the mix with, you know, service to Krishna? It's a beginning. But there's more. Depending, so it's the consciousness behind the ultimately, you know, the hankering for being in one's relationship with Vishnu or Krishna in the loving serving mood. Unconditional loving serving mood. I want to get there. He didn't start there. He just wanted to get this kingdom. But by Narada's kindness, this other desire replaced the initial one. And he didn't even understand it at the outset. But it was there, and Narada's association brought it out. And there's other examples from scripture. But that's the, so it's a principle illustrated by a Quranic story. Something else? Yes?
Maharaj, you said that if someone's in Maya, they could get out of Maya on the strength of character and good association.
Yeah, yeah. It's possible. It's not a guarantee.
Right. But then what if for whatever reason someone isn't able to access that? Then, I mean, it could be
access there. What?
The good association or the character. Then there's no hope.
Why? What's the inhibiting factor? Desire or circumstance? It's not circumstance. If one thinks it's circumstance created, that's not bhakti. There's desire. And then Krishna, the perfect master, makes the arrangements of circumstance according to the desire. And it may not be according to our design, but, you know, we're not Krishna. Krishna makes arrangements for one who has desire. The access is there proportionate to our sincere desire. You know, circumstances can be, you know, somebody lives off in Timbuktu and there's no devotee association. So, that means the circumstance is such that they can't advance in Krishna consciousness because they don't have proximate association. No. There are ways by which one can get association even in a remote place, etc. It's the desire. Now, through that association, desire can become stronger and stronger and stronger. Doesn't have to, but it can, depending upon how one takes advantage or accesses the resources that Krishna provides. I mean, my goodness, look at so many examples of persons that had proximate association. And they just went further with their offenses instead of made spiritual progress. So proximate association isn't the determining factor of whether they're going to make progress or not. Is that clear? You look like you have a question over there. You have a question? No? Okay. Yes?
Do I have a question from the Say Yes to Krishna
from yesterday?
No, from the Say Yes to Krishna seminar that you gave.
Okay.
About Dhruva Maharaj, how Narada Muni gave him an instruction that Dhruva Maharaj said he couldn't follow. But I've heard you say also in the Say Yes to Krishna seminar that when the spiritual master gives an instruction, the potency to carry out the instruction
is within the instruction.
Yes, so my question is, how does the disciple know when they just don't have the ability to do it from an honest perspective looking inside, like Dhruva Maharaj, or when they're just not connecting to Krishna?
Well, I understand your question. And actually, Dhruva did have the capacity. He just didn't accept it. Mm-hmm. He was, you know, he was leaning on a rubber crutch, this phrase that I use. He did have the capacity. He just didn't want to go there. Narada would have given him an instruction that he couldn't fulfill. Just didn't have the capacity. He had the capacity. But he was too attached. I can't follow means can't mean won't. I will not to. To say that I can't means I don't want to. That I can't follow your instruction. I'm too much obsessed by revenge. The way that Prabhupada describes in the commentary, Narada saw that Dhruva was really determined. Not necessarily the good kind of determined, but really determined to go in the direction that he wanted to go, which wasn't take the instruction of Narada. And so Narada gave him the means to get to the point where he could take the instruction of Narada. Does that answer your question? thinking of a nice example, Harishori narrated, that you've probably heard this before. Prabhupada was in a room conversation discussing how he was displeased with his disciples when they resumed their former activities after taking shelter of Krishna. Their submission would slacken and then they'd go back to growing long hair and rock and roll music and all kinds of things that are not so becoming of a Vaishnava. And there was like apparently a substantial thing about affinity for rock and roll music for, you know, that generation. The room conversation was interrupted when a devotee who had recently been married the day before, something like that, came and said, Prabhupada, you know, I want to seek your blessings, I have to go now, and I just have one request. I want to take up rock music and spread Krishna consciousness through rock music. Is that okay? And Prabhupada said, yes. He said, thank you, Prabhupada, and left. And Harishori said, Prabhupada, you heard this, and had this whole rant about how it's detrimental to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada said, I gave him endorsement because he would have done it anyway. And had he done it anyway, against the instruction not to do it, he'd be able to compound the reaction for neglecting the instructions of the spiritual master. So a spiritual master will be prudent about what instructions to give. You know, this instruction to this person and that instruction to that person according to the capacity to carry out the instruction. And doesn't change the fact that within the instruction is the capacity to carry it out, but it's recognizing the faith or the degree of attachment of the student or disciple. But parents will do this with their children. It's just part of the things that go on. When you have a position of trying to guide and help and assist someone in the progress in Krishna consciousness. So from the side of the disciple, there should be faith. There can be dialogue. It isn't like you have to put tape over your mouth and you can't say anything. Just, you know, to help get clarity or even have the advice or instruction recalibrated. There's no harm in having such a discussion, just like Arjuna does with Krishna. No harm. That is not a fault. But when the clarity is there and the instruction is, whatever happens, repeated or recalibrated or whatever, with full faith in that principle, we should go forward. So that's what Dhruva did, with full faith. And what Narada gave him, he went forward. And look what happened. Perfection. Shri Prabhupada ki jai.